God heard their vow. And therefore God did, and Dad did indeed allow the Israelites to destroy the Canaanites. And as such then, God delivered them from the hands of this evil, wicked country and nation that had risen up against them. But as they continued on their journey in the wilderness, as it was, they began again to do their old thing, you know. They began to murmur. They began to complain. They began to voice against God and Moses. Why did you bring us out here into the desert to die? No food, no water. We hate the food that we have. We hate it all, etc. And because of that, doing their own thing, murmuring and complaining, God sent fiery serpents into the Israelite camp, whose sure bite was sure death. Many of them died. Seeing again that they needed to repent of their wickedness and their evilness, they turned to Moses and wanted Moses to intercede on their behalf. And indeed, Moses did intercede. And God said to Moses, "You take a brazen serpent, lift it up on a pole, and they who will look upon that brazen serpent, if and when they have been bitten by one of these venomous, poisonous snakes, will live, and they will not die." And so it was that Moses lifted up the brazen serpent. And sure enough, as those who had been bitten by the snakes looked upon that brazen serpent, they indeed were healed. And they lived, just as God promised that they would indeed live. So Jesus, interesting enough, refers to this in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, or chapter 3, I'm sorry, and verse 14. And Jesus says these words, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up." Even as Moses lifted up the serpent, and they who looked upon the serpent was healed, Jesus said, "So I will be looked up." And I will suggest to you this morning that they who look upon the Son of God can indeed be healed from the fatal sting and the bite, if you will, of sin. And there is no other way for man to be healed from the fatal, poison, venomous bite of sin, except they look to Jesus, who has indeed been lifted up on a cross. Why was it made out of brass? What's the significance of brass? The altar was made out of brass. The altar of incense in the tabernacle was made out of brass. Brass always denotes judgment. It has within its context judgment. And so as they looked upon that serpent, and if you remember the serpent, you remember God promised the serpent that there was going to be a male baby born by a woman, and that this male baby would crush the head of the serpent, even though he would bruise the heel of that child that was going to be born. God promised the serpent, Satan, sure judgment, that there was going to come one who would be lifted up and he would destroy and crush the devil, the serpent, if you will, and put an end to Satan's ability to bring death into reality. If you look upon Jesus, you will never die. I said you will never die. No matter if you have sinned, Jesus was lifted up so you can be forgiven and live forever. But you have to look to him. You have to look to him. An actual serpent, I suppose, could have been put on that pole, but that only would represent, again, Jesus himself being like a venomous snake, if you will, whose sure bite would be poison and so on and so forth, which it could not be, because we know that Jesus, even though he was tempted in every way like we are, he was without sin. He was without sin. We also know that the only adequate type as it represents Jesus, and Jesus himself said, is not the serpent. It's the fact that he was lifted up. Jesus didn't talk about the serpent. He said, if I be lifted up like Moses lifted up the serpent, you see, on a cross, then that type becomes a reality because that's exactly what happened. It was on the cross that God conquered sin from all humanity. It was on that cross. God lifted his son. And on that cross, according to Isaiah and all the other contexts of Scripture, God laid on him the sins of all humanity. And he becomes sin on our behalf. The judgment of God fell upon the Son of God. God crushed him. God laid upon him the iniquities of us all. That as he was lifted up and died on the cross, Jesus died for you and me and took the penalty we deserve. And God's judgment was laid on him. It was laid on him. Isaiah 53:8 states, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Who? Jesus. The judgment of God had come, and the wrath of God was poured out on his son. Why? So God wouldn't have to be angry at you anymore. Jesus took it all. You understand that? Jesus took your sins and mine, and he died on the cross. It's for you and me. What was the provision? What did God do? Well, God simply said, lift up a brazen serpent, brass serpent, put it on a pole, and who sure look, if they would look at it after they had been bitten, they would live. Isn't that the provision? What were they to do? Look. Look upon the brass serpent. And if they would look upon it, God said they would live. God didn't tell them to try to produce some magical healing ointment for the bite of the snake. Well, I don't know if you know about all these snake biter healers there is out there today, but they're out there by the multitudes. I don't know if you know it or not, but most of them take a lot of shots for the venom so that they won't die after they're bitten. He didn't say produce some type of a medicine or something to cure from the bite. He didn't say that at all, did he? Huh? No, he didn't. He didn't say and didn't tell them to minister to one another and take care of one another. And if you take care of one another the way you should take care of one another, well, then you'll all be healed. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that either. But I do note this. He didn't take away the poisonous snakes. He gave them a way to be healed. Isn't that interesting? People say, well, why doesn't God take care of the devil? Why doesn't? No, God doesn't do away with sin. He gave us a way that we could look upon the Son of God and be healed from the fatal sting of sin. That's exactly what he did. He gave us a way in which we can be healed. Think about it. I believe we're dealing with the most subtle lie that Satan could ever produce in the human race.